And you might want to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 43 for a moment. And in the process, as we're looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, which is absolutely essential, and keeping that in mind, if you can, and illustration we use sometime, just to remind ourselves. God's word is full of recipes, as it were. All kinds of principles, procedures, promises of how to do and what to do. So it's full of it. It's all about him. Now, and easy way to remember as we read God's word. Here's a recipe book, a small one, easy to carry. And in the process, here's the recipe book with all the pictures in it, etc. And in the process of having all those pictures, and tells you the ingredients and everything. And I can read the recipe book and see and understand the pictures, understand the words, God so loved the world. I can understand that. I can read that, and I do that. And I read that. That's good. And I put it aside. What did I get from it? I read the recipe book. I said, well, that's nice. I didn't get anything to eat. I didn't get any of the recipe. I read the Bible. I thank God for the word. I put it aside. And tomorrow I'll read it again. I read the recipes as best I could understand them. And I put it aside. And it's all gone. And I could live 20 years like that as a believer. I could live 30 years like that as a believer. That's how I did it. Now, differently, and to understand, here's the recipe book. And the recipe book is here. And the ingredients are here. And I can go and read the ingredients. And I can read the ingredients and read them. But I don't have the ingredients. I don't have them. I'd have to go out and try to find the ingredients in order to make the recipe. So I'll go out and try to find the recipe, get the ingredients. And I get some of the ingredients and I put them there. And now what I do, I have to follow the recipe in making whatever it is. But I had to buy the ingredients, and then I have to make the ingredients, make it work. And I can do all that. And if I did that all, I bought them, and I followed the recipe, followed the instructions, I would have more likely the recipe that is set in front of me, hopefully. Hopefully I'd have that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, yes, I'm doing that. That's fine for this book. When I come to God's word, the recipe. Now, where do you buy the ingredients for the recipe? Where do you go and get the recipes there? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Where do I get the ingredients? What store do I go to? What book do I read? Where do I go to get the ingredients? I don't have the ingredients. God has the ingredients. The ingredients that I read are not mine. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I don't have that. God does. God has it. If I'm going to get from this book, I have to use the system. if I go from God's word, I've got to go to the Savior and look to God. Otherwise, I don't have any ingredients. Can I cook the ingredients? I don't have any way. I could follow the recipe and cook the, use the oven, etc. But for God's word to make that come together, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I don't have the oven. What do I need? I don't need an oven. God has the ingredients. And God makes it work. God makes the product totally. That's what I need to see, the difference. Because I'm apt to read the Bible like I read this. And I put it aside. And when I'm all done, I haven't gained very much. You understand that? The difference. So when I read the recipes in God's word, it requires the Spirit of God. He has the ingredients. And he makes it work. So I can read the recipes, and then I need to look to him. He has to make it work. I can't make it work. He has to make it work. So that's what I'm trying to get across. And just to come and hear the Bible and get a list, I don't know. Well, how can I know it hasn't done too well? Because here we are in the 250th year of our government, a declaration. And our society having all kinds of everything. We got books and colleges and everything that used to be yesterday one thing, today it's something else. And it's not going uphill, it's gone downhill. And therefore, all that we have out there, we aren't even reading the recipes anymore. We don't read the Declaration. We don't even understand it, the right for property, for right for you to own a piece of property. That's communism. You can't do that. But in America, you can own a piece of property, and it's yours. It's your right. All of that is disappearing. That's our founding fathers. That's what they did. It was a wonderful thing they've done. And hopefully, the general public across the country will somehow see this and see what's happening. Maybe. Maybe not. But it doesn't. The other part is so aggressive. And the good guys, using that word, tend to be so passive. And the bad guys keep winning. So now, having said that little bit, I'm trying to get us, the Spirit of God's ministry is essential to understanding the wonderful recipes in God's word. He has the ingredients. He's the cook. And what you do, you go and sit at the table. You sit at the table, and he serves you that which he cooks. You didn't cook it. You certainly have the menu. You got the Bible. And you look at the Bible and look to God, like in a restaurant, and he delivers the truth to you. I don't cook it, and I don't have the ingredients. God does. And without him, I know got nothing in the Bible. Nothing. That makes sense to you? I'm trying to get you to see something. You have to ask, why is it people go to church and do everything? It never goes anywhere. Because you're trying to get something with your works, etc. Now, I don't want to get tied up. Now, having said that, a little bit, And keeping that in mind, if I can, I'm trying to drive home and make clear a simple statement that people use, and they've used it, and you have rightly used it, for all many, 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 many centuries now. And in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit of God. And you read that, and you got to be filled. It's a command, present tense. You got to keep being control, under His control, under His control. Don't be drunk with wine, but where in His excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. A DUI, is it DUI? Driving under the influence. You don't want to drive under the influence of liquor. You want to drive under the influence of God. Different. Now, and having said that, and all of that, and I hear it, and it is so seemingly not very common, that truth, for many Christians, but you don't see it. Not very often, because we're content with reading the recipe and putting it down, and we don't have it. So therefore, I'm trying to drive it home with some understanding better, I hope. So, in Isaiah 43, you'll remember, it tells you God's their witnesses, and in particular, I wanted you to remind yourself, both now and in the morning, 43 and 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, purpose that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm trying to help you understand. I want you to know me, said God. That's all. It's a very personal, direct relationship. It isn't like we pray, people pray, and somewhere God in heaven hears me. Ever hear that? God in heaven hears us when we pray. See? He's in heaven. He's out there. Right there. I'm here. He's out there. Now we got that. That's how people sometimes think. That's how they approach God. Now, God, that's not the way it is. No. I want you to know me. I want you to understand, verse 11, I, the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only one. And in order to enjoy and exercise that relationship, over to Amos. Amos chapter 3. And if I can. And in chapter 3, now remember, and Israel did not, speaking especially to the northern 10 tribes, and all of them actually. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Hear the word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Then, what's the problem? Verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed of one mind? Can two walk in the same direction unless they're of the same mind? Can two think the same thing? Can two be in agreement if they don't think the same thing? Two different things, two different understandings. It doesn't work out good. So they have to be agreed. So therefore, as you know, we did in Genesis 3 and 8, every day before Adam and Eve sinned, they walked with God in the garden. It was a very personal and direct relationship in a most wonderful way. And we sought to make that simple and practical when we read last week in Proverbs in chapter 1, chapter 8. We read in God's word that wisdom cries out in the street, "Why don't you come and let me know me and walk with me down the corridor of time? I want," wisdom says, "I want to be your companion as you go down the road. I want to be with you." God said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Adam and Eve and God walked. Enoch came along, Genesis 5, and all the people didn't, but Enoch walked with God. And after Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God. After Noah walked with God, Abraham walked with God, as it were. And then comes along Isaac and Ishmael, Isaac and Jacob, and Moses comes along, and after it took him 80 years to find it, at 80 years old, Moses started walked with God at 80 years old. And Moses walked with God, and Samuel walked with God, David walked with God. And that's what God says. What did you say for us in the New Testament? Pay over and over. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk in the light, your children in the light. Walk, 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 walk. You keep saying walk, walk, walk. That's right. We walk together of the same mind, of the same heart, down the corridor. If we don't walk together, we don't move. We aren't together. And so all the Christians aren't enjoying Christianity. Say it differently. They aren't enjoying Christ in them. They aren't enjoying Christ in their heart. It's not very personal. No. And so therefore, and remember, going back, another way to do it without taking time, think of Moses. Moses, what do you, Abraham, Genesis 17:1. God says to Abraham, verse 1, "Walk before me. I'm looking at you, Moses. I'm looking at you, Abraham. I'm looking. Come in my direction. I'm looking right at you. Come to me. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Come. I will have your whole heart come in my direction." Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and Moses, what are you going to do with Moses? And go and talk to Moses over and over again, face to face, face to face, face to face. That's how we talk. That's how God, we're in the presence of God. Now hang on. Now, do it differently. Over to the Gospel of John, if I can, in chapter 4. John in chapter 4. And picking up, please, just to catch the idea, John 4, the woman at the well, remember, in Samaria, and in there. And in the process, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, the Lord's talking directly to the woman, "I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And the woman standing in front of the Lord, in front of the Lord, says, "I know the Messiah is coming." And the Lord said directly to her, "You're looking at him. You're looking at him. Believe me, you're looking at him." Do it again. Chapter 9. We're trying to just drive home and understand a little better that God is very direct and very personal. And chapter 9. Over if I can. Oh, picking up the thought, if I can't to the blind man who had sight. And verse 34, the blind man's talking to the Pharisees, etc. Chapter 9, verse 33. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And the Lord just healed his eyes. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and doth thou teach us? And they cast him out. In other words, the blind man, who now has sight, is trying to tell him, the man that healed my eyes, he did it, and he has to be of God to do it. And they said, who are you to teach us? You're nobody, blind man. So therefore, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. In other words, they threw the blind man out that could see out the door. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you. But you couldn't see me, and I healed your eyes. Now, I'm the man that healed your eyes. Do you believe who I am? Do you believe I'm the Son of God? I don't know the Son of God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God, right in front of him. I'm standing in front of him. We're right now in the presence of God, just like that. Do you understand that? You're in the presence of God, just like I'm reading in this person. You'll catch it in the morning if the Lord tarries. Now, chapter, and you know what, keep going. In John chapter 20 and all of that, after his resurrection, they went and they saw him, and then he told Thomas, put your hand in my, with my hands, here's the hole in my side where the spear was, put your hand in there. Here's my hands, touch them. Here's the holes, touch me. Here I am, handle me, I'm real. Can't get closer, can't get better in a most wonderful way. And therefore, John chapter 30, 31. Believe. After doing all of that, what are you trying to tell me, God? Chapter 20, 30, 31. What are you saying? I'm trying to tell you in 10,000 different ways, as it were, believe me. Believe me. Believe me. That's why it's so foreign and so very rare. I mean rare. Hang on. Now, so therefore, as you know, and while you're here in John, go over to chapter 17 to remind yourself. Can two walk together except they be agreed of the same mind, the same heart? And John chapter 17, as you would know, the relationship, as the Father sent me, so send I you, verse 18. Now, what's that? What are we doing? What are we doing going up and down the street, getting out of bed and going to work and school and everything else, taking our medicines? Chapter 17, verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be of one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. To show what? Can two walk together except they agreed? And the heart is walking with God. And God said, listen, they're going to see. It isn't just you. It's you and me. I'm in you, and you're in me. It's us they're looking at. When they see you, they're going to find me. That's what you want to see. Now, and you can do it again, verse 23, as you know, I and them, and thou and me, purpose, that they may be made perfect, complete, whole, in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So the world is to what? To discover your marvelous, God's marvelous, marvelous, marvelous person in a most holy, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, keeping that in mind, if you can, if you would. And so, God's, what are we looking at? We're looking at a unique, wonderful relationship that God does. We don't do it. So it isn't anything up to us. We don't follow the recipe. The recipe book, we read it, and we don't have the ingredients, we don't have the power, and when we're done reading the Bible and the recipes, we put it aside. I don't have anything to eat, as I shared earlier. Now, so therefore, the secret, it isn't a secret. It isn't a mystery. It's something to be understood. So holiness, this relationship to God, to have this oneness, isn't going to be, we aren't going to have to fight sin. We aren't fighting sin. You got to do that. It isn't, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm waiting. No, no. It isn't something you fight. You don't fight it. You don't say, I'm going to do it. Going to do it. And that's usually in my little history. That's what I found with people. They're going to try it. Try it. But it isn't trying. It's trusting. You don't have the recipes. You don't have the power. You don't have anything. You don't have anything. God gives you. All you have is an empty plate. How's that? All you have is an empty plate, and God puts the food in it. It's his food, his cook. It's all of God. You just have the plate. You just have a body that you live in. That needs, that has a relation, to have physical food and to have spiritual food. So therefore, it isn't something we're going to fight to be filled. And the law of exclusion, the force, exclusive power of God. Now, and what do you mean? You're just going to look to God. Now, if I have, using the glass carefully. Here's the glass. If I were to dump all that water out and I just have the empty glass, the glass is full of what? Air, isn't it? It's full of air. And sometimes people are full of hot air, you know, now. Air in the process. Here's air. What's the law? If I pour this full of water, I expel the air. The air can't be in the air in the water. The water replaces the air. Expulsion. So, God, what am I going to do? I'm going to go, and here, a different way to say it. When you're in a dark room, when you're in a dark room and you throw the light switch, what happens to the darkness? Where does the darkness go? You could reach out and touch the darkness, turn the light on, and you can't touch it. You can't find it. Where's the darkness? The darkness is gone. Darkness is gone. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, self is down. You're looking to God, and God gives you the total, wonderful freedom to enjoy the food on your plate. That's what he does. The food on your plate. And you didn't make it, God did. And all you did was give God the right to be the boss, to be the cook, to give the ingredients, to be the one to give you the food and to make it work. And you're giving God the credit. I'm not trying to fight sin. I can't win against sin. I'm a loser. That's my old nature. I'm not going to win. I'm going to have to trust God as I go down the corridor of time. And as I trust God with all my heart, God's going to go. I'm looking to God. I'm not looking at myself, because God said, don't count on your dumb self. Don't look to say, well, I'm going to read. I'm going to study. God bless you. You can do it, but it's going to be of you. You don't want it of you. You want to absorb the recipes. And what are you doing? You're believing. Believe God's word. You believe the recipe. You believe the cook is able to make the recipe work. You'll be able to, the recipe is given for you. Just think of 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 of that. All the promises of God in Christ, in you, are yes and amen. They're yes. So when I look to God, God's going to put that on the plate, put it in your heart. So when God does, when I'm doing that, God replaces. My old nature's still there, but it isn't dominant. It isn't dominant. I have a plate. I put the empty plate in front of God. Not a full plate, that's my old nature. And my old nature has all kinds of stuff. But I'm not going to use those. I'm not going to use that. I'm going to reckon myself dead and look to God. And God's going to do what he does. So I'm looking for God to provide. Thou prepare, think of Psalm 23. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. God. God does that. All we do is just get down the corridor. So what are we going to do? We're looking to God to do a wonderful thing in our head and in our heart. And that's what we're going to do. And when the Spirit of, and when in the Spirit of God, in the light of us, and when you're, and think of Acts 1:8. And you are my witnesses, and you shall receive, what's the next word? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He provides it. That's right. I didn't provide it. I just looked to him. And my old nature doesn't stand a chance against the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God says it's dead. And he ain't going to use it. No flesh shall glory in my presence. No. So we're looking to God's wonderfully, and so the Spirit of God's going to go in his most wonderful way. And so it isn't a struggle. That's what I want you to see. It's not a big struggle I got to work at. In other words, I got to go do this, be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't know that I'm up to it today. I got a lot to do. I'm tired. Maybe next week. That's what we do. And we put it aside. So it isn't a struggle. It's something that you just do because it's there. And when you sit down there, here's the restaurant or whatever, and you give your menu and everything's there, so you have the plate and the food comes in the plate. I didn't make the food come. I didn't even cook the food. I just said I'd like this particular item on the menu, and there it comes on my plate. There it comes on my plate. I didn't struggle to get that. I didn't do a thing to get that. I just ordered it, and they hope I pay for it. That's what they did. That's all I did. God, thank you. Thank you. No struggle. No strife. I'm not trying to solve anything. I'm not trying to fix anything. I'm just letting God be who he is. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Because it's a way of life. It is your life. It is your life. The Spirit of God brings to us the wonderful life of God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, and so we're trying. So we're going to go, and God has to help us And we try trying to fix everything in our life. Don't try to fix everything in your life. Look to God in everything in your life. And when you're looking to God in everything in your life, God's the light. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, the light shines. Here's my old nature. Here's my thinking about work, about school, about health, about wealth, about everything coming, what's happening in the world, etc. Here it all is. It's all there. All there. It's always there. The difference is, I'm looking to God and to see it and put light on it. So when I see it in the light of the, when I see that, I'm looking to God now, just trusting him and looking to God. He sheds light. So I'm not going to trust all that. And I look to God and he gives light. He gives understanding in his most wonderful way. So, and he helps me understand that I'm to trust God and look to God who understands it all. My old nature, he died for it. He took it to the cross. So I don't need to wrestle with it. I just need to understand it. And because it's a way of life. You breathe it. You live in the presence of God. And that's what I'm trying to drive home in these last days to you. It's not a God's, thank you, God in heaven somewhere. Trying to get you to see it. So you get it. Otherwise, you'll just be a good old churchgoer. And you go to, well, whatever you want to do, and hear some more information, then you can do it.
Yeah.
It isn't going to go anywhere, though. How do you know it isn't going to go anywhere? For all of these years, for 200 years, it hasn't gone anywhere. And I think you don't get discouraged anymore because it isn't going to go anywhere. It's our system, and our system isn't going to work. It's how we think, how we feel, how we act, and it just never happens for reality. But we're content because we understand. Understanding isn't the same as possessing. Isn't the same. I can understand the recipe book, but I don't have the recipes. I want to have the recipes. I don't want to have the book, and the God of the book is to get the recipe into my head and into my heart. Now, and having said that and keeping that in mind, and so what do you have now? All I'm trying to do is give you some just general stuff to help you understand an awesome, wonderful relationship. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So now what do you know from 2 Corinthians? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You know what it is. Just chatting. And I wish more people would go sit through this stuff because they never are going to hear it and they don't know it. And unless we provoke each other to understand it, they aren't going to know it next year. They could be sitting here and they'll never know it unless they understand it. Just won't happen. And they're going to reap because the world system isn't stopping. So therefore, I didn't mean to get sidetracked. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as you know, in verse 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be a new creature. So it says, when did you become new? All things, I've got to finish it. And verse 17, all things are passed away, crucified, I'm done with them. Behold, all things have become new. You have a whole new relationship. That's why you had the glass, the water, pour the water in the glass and the air goes out. Pour light in the darkness and the darkness goes out. Put God into the heart and the flesh goes out. And so here we are looking God. So when, again, just a question to say to yourself, when did I become new? When did I become new? Did I become new? Why did I become new? Am I new? I have to be new the moment I get saved. New. I'm not going to become new. It says I am new. All things are passed away. That's the word pass away. You're going to find it later when God says the heaven, Revelation 21, the heaven and the earth will pass away. There's the same words. They're going to be gone. That doesn't mean your old nature's gone. It just means it's it has no power. It has no power. So don't let it have power. Be filled with the Spirit of God so it doesn't have power in a most wonderful way. So new, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if I can, to Colossians. All kinds of ways. It's going to keep saying it. And all I'm going to do is be a pest and read it to myself. And in Colossians, and chapter 3, and you'll note, if I can, picking up, please, up in verse 8, Colossians 3, 8. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. It's crucified. You're all done with it. Don't keep trying to wear the old when God has given you the new. Don't keep trying to do that. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old with all of its man with all his deeds. On the contrary, don't be using the old. It's there. It's always there. What are you going to do? You're going to have, you have the old. Remember the clothes we had down there? End of the clothes, going down if I can. And using illustration, a simple illustration. Cut. And here's the, here's your, here's your old nature, all about you, your old nature. And that stays here. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It just stays here. So I got my old nature. I got it. This never goes away. I come to the Lord as my Savior, and He gives me a brand new relationship to His awesome person. And now, God said, I got that. Now, what am I going to do with this, God? I crucified it, said God. It's still there. That's in Adam. That's where you got it from, Adam. And in the process, it's still there. And it's going to stay there. But I want you to know, I crucified it, paid the penalty. I'm finished with it. It's all done. No more. Don't play with it. It's just done. I'm finished with it. What are you going to do? Trust me. Believe me. That I am He, that, and you're going to trust me. So here God gives us a brand new, wonderful relationship to Himself. And we're to exercise that relationship. We're to exercise it. All the while, we still got the old nature. It ain't going away. It never goes away. Never goes away. I got it. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And have a relationship, and God's one. I'm looking to God. I'm not trying to find it in myself. I can't find the recipes in God's word, in me. They're in God. And He made them possible. Our Lord Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. The words, so all the Bible is going to tell me about you, God. About you. So I'm to understand that unique relationship, and I'm to walk in the light as you're in the light. When I'm in the light, here's the old, here's my old. Now, when I'm in the light, can you see the old? It's there. You bet your boots it's there. But what do you see up front? I'm trusting God. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's who I am. I have an old nature that Christ crucified and paid the price and gave me his a wonderful, unique, personal, direct relationship to himself. I'm trusting God, walking in the light. Walking in the light. At any moment, my old nature's there. So moment by moment, I'm trusting him. And moment by moment, I enjoy this relationship. The minute, 10 seconds from now, I'm going to get all upset and do wrong, think wrong. And I'm back to this. So put off, put off. Don't trust this. Put on the new man, which is renewed. And you'll see it in verse 10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And God keeps changing us and giving us a wonderful life. And all of it is because of Christ, who made it possible for us to be renewed in spirit in a wonderful, wonderful way. So I can walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. And that's what I'm doing. That's all done. It's not hard. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't do anything. I just was going to trust him for real. Not make believe. I'm not trying to trust him. I'm working at trusting him. I'm doing the right thing. I'm not doing anything right. It's all wrong. No matter how I think it's right, like in 1 Corinthians 8, when you think you know everything, better think again. Think again. I know. You better think again about it. How well do you really know it? Because the reality is you need to be walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from what? All sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. As we walk in the light. That's what we do. And God does that in his unique way. And in the process. In the process. You don't need my shirts to take home, do you? You don't need my shirts to take home. And by the way, just in case, we aren't going to have a choir at this rate, are we?
Special music.
Oh. So we'll go to a few more minutes. I'm just kidding. All right. So you got the idea. Are you getting the idea? It's a command. Ephesians 5:18, present tense. Don't be driving under the influence of liquor. Be driving under the influence of God. Boom. Let him take you down the corridor of time. That's what he'll do. And it won't be because of your effort. And what are you going to do? You're just going to go and enjoy his presence. His presence. Using the driving. He's in the car already, isn't he? Maybe you don't let him. Isn't he in your car? Where isn't he? He's already in the car. Why not enjoy the trip with him? Got the idea? I hope you got a little bit. We're just stumbling along in it, and I'm just trying to help you understand. Wonderful. I wish the people, but it's the way it is. It's always the way it's been. It's history. And we repeat history. And the generation coming up is going to repeat history that we did. They just repeat it. So, anyway, thank you for that, and trust you got a little bit, and we'll pray. And our Father and God, we look to you to put it all together. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.